Welcome to Wise Health for Women Radio with Linda Prater. Women are pressed daily to give more, learn more, and be more, often at the expense of mind, body, or spirit. Each week with intriguing guests and topics, we'll bring you fresh ways to view your limited time, encouraging a shift to new, healthier perspectives. Wise Health for Women Radio, helping women thrive. And now here's your host, Linda Prater. Good morning and welcome to Wise Health for Women Radio. I'm Linda Crater, and we are going to have a very in-depth discussion today with Todd Malloy, who is an amazing man who has, he's a therapist, he's a marriage and family counselor. He has succeeded on his own from, you know, pretty challenging beginnings, taking on sex education and therapy as well. And we're going to talk about how especially women, everyone does, but especially women, evolve over time from growing with others' expectations and then growing into themselves as they get older, as life tests you. Let's put it that way. Because, you know, it's all very well and good to be an optimist about life. I think that's a great way to live. But I also think that how resilient we are, how durable we are as we go through challenges and how we respond to those challenges leads us from surviving to thriving. And so Todd's going to help us learn how to thrive better. Do you remember our tagline, Todd? It's helping women thrive. So I think this is a very appropriate guest and topic for us to do today. So welcome, Todd, to our program.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate being you having me. I appreciate being here right now.
Well, I love it because I am just one of those people I just described. You grow up with other people's expectations and you fulfill some of those things and not others. But I think once you get a couple of life's experiences under your belt, you learn. And if you're smart, you learn from everything that goes on. So, you know, a turn in the road doesn't mean an end in the road unless you fail to make the turn. So tell us more about how we, and your story too. We grow up self-surviving, but then you become who you are.
Exactly. You know, really what probably the best way to start is that most people fail to recognize that we're all pre-programmed. What do you mean by being pre-programmed? What I'm sharing is that When we're born, we don't have the regulatory system to identify what's right or wrong for us. Our subconscious or the conscious mind, which is the more aware mind that protects us, isn't developed until we're almost 30. Mm-hmm. So we really move by our subconscious mind, which our parents, our family of origin, our environment that we're reared in has direct access to teach us what right and wrong is based on their terms, based on the history that we've been birthed into. So therefore, as we move through life, we usually run through life like hamsters on a hamster wheel. You know, even when we think about when we get older, we have relationships, we want to be in relationships, we want partners, but we wrestle with whose house was better or things of that nature, when in real life we should blow it up. Why? Because we define things before we met people. So therefore, how do you count a factor that was never a part of the equation after the fact? So
it's
what we
true.
Have to do is really blow up our lives every time we meet a new person, understand ourselves well enough to teach someone how to care for us, because nobody knows instinctively. One of the things that I get to with women when they get to midlife and then those things and their changes, you may be perimenopausal, counts are going down, things of those natures. And depending on any other relational stressors, they really come to a point of, who am I at this point in life? They've had a number of new normals throughout life, and they really have to reclaim a sense of their own awareness and based on the truth that they've learned experientially through their testimony, but also really identifying who they want to be now and who they want to be in the future, and really building a mindset and an environment and aware of an environment that will foster that they can share with the partner, not necessarily whether the partner wants to involve or not, but at least offer the partner the opportunity to grow and learn with me. Because a lot of times when we're growing and learning, the people around us don't want to adjust. But what it
or
is
they
is
aren't Or they aren't savvy enough to see that it's evolving and that they need to evolve as well.
Oh yeah,
Sometimes you've
very much
heard the
so.
term, have you heard the term, we outgrew one another?
Right. But we can outgrow each other, but if we're not intentional about maintaining the connection.
Yes.
So
Exactly.
if we're both challenging each other to grow, if we're all being honest with one another as opposed to suffering in silence or being politically correct because you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, but what you're doing by playing it safe, you're really sabotaging it for the future. Because down when you grow and the other person isn't growing and you haven't challenged them or held them accountable, now you're the queen of Sheba and now he's the fair jest court jester.
Good point. I have a theory that our communication, oftentimes when you're in a new relationship and you're younger, you let things slide because, okay, there was just no big deal. It was little. I think one thing that I gained as I got older was pattern recognition. When I was able to see that, wait a minute, this has happened before way too many times. And you start to call things out. Well, if you haven't called things out and they on you, when it's small, unfortunately, it's gotten bigger at that point. And now you have a
Exactly.
bigger reset.
Correct. Correct. It's to some point, some people don't even talk until they become empty nesters. And what
Right.
they do, since they haven't talked for 18, 20 years, now
Ugh.
they feel it's too much water under the bridge.
Well, at
But we
that
have.
point, how do you retrieve that?
No, but what it is that what it's about understanding your truth and what I call one of the things I'm intrigued by rappers. Rappers always reinvent themselves.
They are intriguing.
So, but what it is, what I share with my clients is that it's time to have a Jay-Z moment. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Because it's a shame of us for sh shame on us for thinking that everybody's going to stay the same. I met you 20 years ago, and now 20 years later, you're still going to be the same person. That is not rational. It's even science says that every 7 years we're different people. Why? Because by bathing and cutting your hair, we shed like snakes. So every 7 years we're changing. Every day there's a new variable. Every moment there's a new variable. Why can't we allow each other to grow? And as we're growing, we're sharing how we're growing so we can grow together. But
I
to
think
canonize a person, I don't know that's it's fair to canonize a person to always be the same person. It's just not
well,
realistic.
I no, I think so too. And I think one of the things that I know I shared with my children is learn how people communicate, learn how they behave when they don't get what they are seeking, learn how they behave when someone is angry. Do they shut down? Will they talk to you? We all know those strong, silent types that just put a shield around themselves. It's very
Correct.
hard to communicate with someone who's a brick wall.
Correct, but you should know that before you marry them.
Exactly. And the other thing that I often share is that behavioral changes can be made, but character changes cannot. I'm going back to my pattern recognition because I think as I've gotten older, that has been the biggest saving of being able to see a situation early, not to prejudge it, but to say, huh, this is interesting. My aunt once said, to get to know someone, spend all four seasons with them before you make drastic decisions.
Correct. Correct. Actually, I grew up hearing the same message, and as in faith, for example, in the Christian faith,
Yes.
they say it should be 3 years as Christ's ministry on earth. Why? Because in there you'll see all the seasons. You'll see them on good
That would
days,
solve a
bad
lot of
days.
problems. It would pre-solve them. The other thing is, I think we start to solve our problems ourselves, in which case the faith that is central to my life, I now lean on that far more than I did in my youth, because I'm not in charge. God
Right.
is. And
Exactly.
once you realize you're not in charge, you tend to give more and expect less.
And well, when you give more, when you accept less, but what I would share is I don't know that you're accepting less. You're accepting where you begin and end,
Yes, good point.
and therefore you don't take on things that are not your responsibility.
Right. So I want to ask you about how what I see in the cultural workplace or just generally around the nation. I see that men have been treated very poorly over the last, oh, 20 years or so in a change from when I was growing up. And when someone is, or a whole group of people are denigrated and put down, and the other side is put up as being, it takes the inequality that can be met and makes it very unequal. Most men that I know at this point, if they are divorced or widowed, they have no interest in another marriage. They've been there, done that, and no thanks, because women are crazy. I'm quoting people I know.
Right.
But I
I've heard
do
some of
think
the same
it's quite prevalent in advertisements to make men out to be lugs. And they're not, because the right men can make you feel safe and secure,
thing.
which is
Exactly.
something I think most women want, no matter how liberated they may think they are. And I think it's something that some people have never felt safe and secure.
Yeah, this is true. Number one is that, remember, most of us are living life ad hoc with very little intention. What if we were more intentional about life and about what we wanted to experience, and then taking the accountability to do our part? That means communicate effectively.
Right.
By nature, many more often than not, many of us are taught to suffer in silence. Why? When you're a kid, you're supposed to be seen and not heard. When you get a little older, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. When you get a little older, you got to be politically correct or your socioeconomic situation is challenged. When does anybody say connect to your own experience, value it enough to put a voice to it, and we care for you enough to adjust that you have peace? They don't. Whether consciously or subconsciously, we're kind of forcing people to go along to get along. We try that for as long as we can. Then we find ourselves having to be wanting to be in relationship, which is called attachment theory, because we all want to be loved, wanted, and desired. But depending on how we're reared, can create an emotional stunting. Because if you're always taught to suppress your feelings and emotions, how do you build a language to express them? So therefore, it creates a dysfunction when we go into relationships, because neither of us really know how to talk to each other, because nobody teaches us how to communicate. It's all social learning. It's kind of you pick it up as you go.
And depends on who you're surrounded by.
But think about it this way: we all come out of somebody else's house, so
Yes.
therefore, what's funny at one house may not be funny at another. One tone of voice at one house doesn't have the same meaning as a tone of voice at another house. If
Right.
something. A joke at one house doesn't have the same meaning as another. So actually, by nature, just the mere fact we raised in different houses means we speak different languages. And unless we actually slow down and connect to our own experience and start conversation from the perception of it, of the experience, as opposed to the facts, it'll make life easier. Todd, make it clear. So what I'm saying is that we oftentimes have this awkward feeling. Anytime we feel adverse or we're not comfortable with our surroundings, we create and have a feeling. However, when we have that feeling, basic neurological science says feelings deceive us. For example, if I were to say, "Hey, Linda, it's snowing outside," and you'll say, "Brr," with a little shiver that it's cold. However, now I'll say, "Well, how did you feel a chill in a warm room?" Because I remembered what it was like being in the snow, and it created that feeling for
Right.
me. Feelings deceive us. So therefore, anytime I have an adverse feeling, because when I'm talking to my partner, I always know what I want to feel, whether I'm with the strangest of stranger or the most intimate partner I have, we always know how we want to feel. And anytime you feel contrary to that, what you really should do is say, "Hey, I know you love me and care for me, but right now I can't smell it, feel it, or taste it in the way that you're communicating it to me. So before I say anything, are we still connected or are we arguing?
Oh, that's smart.
What we have to do is connect to ourself first and verify if we're okay. If we're not okay, it's our responsibility to communicate with the audience something is off. We're not going to pick the emotion before I ask for clarity. What it is something adverse. I shouldn't feel adverse with this person. So let me slow them down first to say, hey, what are we doing? Are we arguing or are we talking? Are we caring or are we loving? Then I can pick whatever emotion is appropriate to the response of the original person because they know the motive and intent. Sometimes motive and intent of another person gets distorted in communication. So if I pick the emotion before asking for clarity, I will be irrelevant in my own situation.
It's interesting. I mentioned about men, culturally changing, but I would also bring that to women.
Right. Oh,
Women
yeah. No,
have
I say.
culturally changed as well.
Correct.
I'll let people draw their own conclusions as to whether that's good or bad, but the problem when both are changing, are both adapting? Are both thriving? Is it meshing or is it be driving you apart? And there are answers for each person. But I know that if you go into something with an expectation and it doesn't meet your expectations, not once, not twice, but for years, now you have a major disconnect and you have children observing that very disconnect. And so this can run in families. I know one family that speaks generally with lots and lots of sarcasm. But sarcasm, if you go to the root word, the Greek word, it means tearing flesh. And that is a very brutal thing, but it
Right.
describes sarcasm very well as it's perceived by some.
Well, can I, if I can share, I have a client that grew up in a sarcastic house, and she felt as though she was never loved by her parents. She was never loved by her parents, and she actually had the conversation. Matter of fact, I happened to be the therapist to her father. And I facilitated that conversation, but he apologized. He shared, hey, that's how your mother and I love. But he also had to recognize as children and growing up, they don't understand their d relationship and how they do, and that it was a joke. She took it to heart, and she really felt, that she wasn't loved until, the family got together. We reconciled it. But things like that really happen, and it has bad effects throughout the future generations. So again, I think we really should look at life like students and really look to st learn and understand each other, and then use that knowledge to build our communication.
I
Because once
agree
if
with
I
you.
study, if I study you like a student, and I'm actually paying attention to nuances and I'm asking questions, it's easier for us to stay in sync.
I like that. And I'm glad to hear you say that about sarcasm. I would almost say that the flip side, gentleness, kindness, can sometimes be misconstrued as weakness,
Correct.
where it is not weakness. It is actually a wonderful part of what we talked about earlier about feeling safe and secure. But
Correct.
again, you have to speak the same language. And I once talked with someone who said, if you're not communicating well, it's like a dance. You've got two choices. You can change the steps or you can change the dance. And so you've got to do something else. You're going to be stepping on toes right and left. But you have to be speaking the same language and be able to articulate what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's an evolved process,
Yes.
and it takes intention. You can have what you want in life. The question is, are you willing to do what's necessary to go get it? And sometimes we have an issue with the want to gene.
Well, sometimes the decisions are very difficult. They have far-reaching
But let me ask you,
repercussions.
but difficult decisions were left for adults because we're the only ones with the frame of reference to handle it.
True. True.
So if we shy away from it, that it almost says like we don't want to be adults.
Well, I think there's quite a large contingent of people who don't want to be adults.
Right, but guess what? You are.
You
It
are.
doesn't matter, right? That what does Hamlet says? There's no such thing as good or bad. It's good or bad are only constructs of the mind. It is what it is. So if my is isn't what I want it to be in this moment, what shifts and changes should I make to make my next is better? But if
Well,
I'm
I
not
think
willing to do that, I'm
I
choosing to
agree with
suffer.
you. I agree with you. And I think oftentimes stoicism is seen as resilience, but it's actually, in many cases, it's taken on only because you went through some really tough things. And then you worry that that trauma response, basically, of no, I don't need help, I can do it myself. Now you're not accepting. I think that's a hard thing for some people to accept. I know I went through a period of time like that. And then someone said to me, but it was a wonderful therapist who said, you're not letting others help you.
Correct.
And you want to help everyone, but you're not letting anyone give you help. You might want to start accepting some of that help. What a difference that made.
So when it's called self-sabotage, matter of fact,
Oh, yes.
it's real interesting. I have a client, a gentleman who hasn't talked to his wife in 20 some odd years. No, they lost a son
Oh, dear.
together, and they grieve separately, and I'm meeting them 20 years later, and this is the first conversation they're ever having, a joint conversation about losing a son some 20 years ago.
It's
So
tragic.
that's real. It's self-sabotage. What it is that for those individuals that may have grown up in a conflicting or to the trauma of emotional neglect, they don't, what they want to do is stabilize their emotional well-being. So unfortunately, they make their emotional well-being, the stability of their emotional well-being, the priority of their life and whatever system they're in, that's still responsible. So therefore, I'm going to communicate with you in a manner that doesn't disturb me emotionally. And what I will also do is try to think for you and not say anything that I think may trigger you. But then, how do you get to a real place with diluted or distorted information? You can't. There, in turn, creates a self-sabotage where the person really wants to be there, but they feel a gap and a distance, and they're not allowing anybody in. It's in therapy world, we call it he or she has built this golden cage. However, in their purse, like a bird on the cage, it's a beautiful cage. They can see out, people can see in, but there's no door.
Or there's a door, but they won't go through it.
Correct. So now you have to share with them how they're self-sabotaging because they actually want the husband wants to be loved by his wife and wants to love his wife. What the husband shared with, he said that, but when things get too close to me, they die. So therefore, I love you, but I'm also keeping you away from me because I do love you and I want you in my life, but I'm gonna mostly be distant because I'm afraid of it at the same time. Because if I let you in, my emotional well-being won't be okay. And I don't know how I'll show up as a man, so my pride and ego won't let me be but so humble. And the guard is beginning to in charge of my life as opposed to the will of the person.
So what you're talking about really is emotional intimacy.
Correct.
Because I think people don't think of intimacy except in sexual terms, but emotional intimacy is so important
Oh,
in
even
terms of
research
real
shows.
connection.
Correct. Research shows that you can move pieces and parts and have a euphoric experience. But when you add emotional connection, it's far greater than the sum of the parts, and you're actually connected to universal God energy and
Well,
allowing
you
to
can watch.
qualitatively be better.
You can watch couples that are connected,
Oh, amen.
and we all savor those moments because it's so pleasant to be around. Contrary to that, we've all watched couples who kvetch at one another on every level, and you don't want to be around them. So those are the two extremes, but there is a whole big middle ground that you can move toward as you start to realize with people like you, with people who can help you to identify where you are, what's your perception of this? Maybe it's flawed. Maybe you could look at it this way. There's a way to go from survival to thriving.
Oh yeah,
And
most definitely, most
talk more
definitely.
about that.
Well, remember, well, my whole pitch, you call it thriving. I say live a life worth celebrating. There's no need to live in mediocrity. That's a choice, not a requirement. So, what I really believe is that, to your point earlier, with the mental health and going to see therapists and so forth, we really need to have a therapist as a part of our success team, our tribe of people. Why we all have personal trainers, financial managers, primary care physicians, a mechanic, all of these things. However, but we don't think about having a mental health professional. And I think we should. Why? Because if your mind is distorted, can you see anything clearly?
I would agree, but I also say that that's not an easy thing to find. You need a therapist with a good fit. And if
Oh yeah,
you
very much so.
have a
Very much
good
so.
fit, you're blessed. If you
Right, but
don't have
to
a good fit, you may think it's just you.
okay, correct. Correct. However, but think about this. When we don't just go to any mechanic, we don't just go to any PCP
True.
person, we don't go to any just financial manager. We're always seeking someone that can create and meet us where we are and take us where we're going. So it would be that same that would be that same process for a therapist. And if you don't like it, just to switch and find. The key point is not so much the therapy, it's about what you really need for yourself and what you're willing to do for yourself to really accomplish and achieve the goals. When I love and care for myself and I really want what I say I want, I will make the necessary sacrifices to do that. But the question is, do you really want what you say you want?
Okay,
Because
how do you counter this?
right, because yeah, because well, there are a number of ways. Obviously, through the therapeutic process. But I also have things that, like, I've created Toddism cards, with their discussion cards for couples and for individuals, couples that can connect to their own truth, but also begin to foster conversation between their partners. For example, I give a definition of, well, matter of fact, we'll talk about, since we talked about emotions, you know, what it is I wrote an equation for trust. Transparency, honesty, and vulnerability equals emotional security. Emotional security equals trust. If you are not transparent, honest, and vulnerable in every moment of your relationship, you distort the equation. That'll impact emotional security. That'll impact trust. In addition to that, you know, I have things to love someone means to protect them from you and themselves. And these are conversation prompts. When people can't get to therapy, such that they can still do the internal work and stimulate and challenge avenues of thought for change, so that there's ample resources out there. They don't have to be mine. There are other discussion cards, other therapists, other things. But the question is, how inquisitive are you about your own life and really invest in yourself to accomplish what you want? Because if you want it, it's there. The only one that limits us in life is us. No one else can do that.
So what do you do? And we're starting to run out of time, but there are often couples who one person really likes the therapist, but the other does not, oftentimes because there's a directional flow that tends to be pointing a finger or a blame. I had a family member who exhausted the entire psychiatry area in our town because he kept being told it was all his fault, and nothing is always one person's
For
fault.
not exactly. Anytime there's more than one person, there's more than one person responsible.
Exactly. So I think it's hard to find the right fit these days. There are online therapists these days. Is that workable?
Yeah, well, as of COVID and things that happened during the
Right.
pandemic, that made it viable. But what it does is now it does increase the sample size and allows the client to be able to, you know, not, maybe if they don't find someone in their hometown, that someone that is national or global that can meet their needs. There's again, when there's a want, there is a resource. The question is, it's about inquiring and really challenging yourself. I've pressed through a lot of things. I've not always had the best of therapists, but I know the importance of it to me and how important it is to me.
Right.
And you just keep persevering. And again, reach out to me. I'll help people find therapists, whatever the case
Now
may
that is
be.
a lovely thing to say, because I do think I've experienced at a really rough time in my life a very bad therapist, an
Yeah.
unethical therapist.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
And
that.
it wasn't until I had a good one that I realized, oh my gosh, I believe they sabotaged a lot of things in my life. And once changed to a good therapist, you can put it in perspective. So I think a good fit is super important, but that you're offering that is really
Oh yeah,
exceptionally
no. And let me
amazing.
be clear. I never recommend a therapist that I would not actually sit with. So
Most
just
people get
like,
referrals through their friends.
yeah. Well, no. But if my friend, if I wouldn't talk to my friend and give them my secrets, I wouldn't give them a client.
Understood. Understood.
No, and what it is that when I had a knee surgery and I needed an orthopedist, I went to a doctor and I said, "Doc, what doctor, if you had knee surgery, would you use?"
Right. Right. That's always a good way to go. To find out more information about Todd and all the things he does and all the tools he has, you go to Todd, T-O-D-D, Malloy, Malloy. com, ToddMalloy.com, and I'll put it in the show notes as well. But I think you have touched on everything from you grow up in an environment, there's cultural changes that you have to adapt to. You have to adapt to each other as people. You have to take a look at your communication and self-sabotage. But I like what you summed it up with, how to live a life worth celebrating. Would you like to add more to that?
Yes, think about this. Life is to be lived, not to be tolerated. And we always have the power of choice. Why would you choose lesser for yourself than what you deserve when it's available to you? Because again, we define our own success. It doesn't always have to look like TV.
Right.
But create your happy in your place. I had a trash man teach me something. When a man threw some trash on the ground, I said, "Oh, that was rude." Man said, "No, that's job security." I said, "Yes, you're right." It educated me. It's all based on perspective.
True. True. Well, I can't thank you enough, Todd. It's been so interesting to you see we go down a winding road when we cover an awful lot of topics. But you know, life is kind of that way. It's not always linear. There are no straight
Exactly.
lines in nature. There just are not. And so I'm grateful to have you share some of your, I don't want to say secrets, but some of your tendencies to share with others and how you view things. And I think it's extremely helpful. Remember, you can go to toddmalloy.com for more information. And thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Linda, I appreciate you having me here, and I appreciate and applaud your energy. You sound very genuine and sincere, so I just want to say thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Everyone else, have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today. You can find more shows at wisehealthforwomenradio.com.